understand there is an issue with an ordinance that was put in place back in the 80s, back when the beach was the most fun to go and the Blue Wahoo Stadium was just a dream. Why limit the potential growth by restricting businesses, especially those that cater to professionals and enrich the diversity of downtown? You have an exciting, inclusive, unique business enriching your community. Why lean on such an outdated ordinance if it's something that can be changed? I beg you to continue all of your hard work for making improvements downtown and to the city of Pensacola by saving Kaskin Flights and making it easier for all businesses in the future.
So this was at the city council meeting last Thursday. It's, if I recall, the second time this has really become an issue, where not just the owner was that kind of the first time, but now a bunch of patrons showed up to protest the restriction against Kaskin Flights operating downtown. They're right next to Old Hickory. And the rule is that you can't have more than one bar in a block downtown, but if you're situated on the corner, you don't count. So you could have corner, middle block, corner, acceptable. No corner, middle block, no corner, violation. And if you look at that and say, the what? That doesn't make any sense. Yeah, it doesn't make any sense. And also, of course, you know, the idea is that, you know, there was a time in the past when we were trying to overcome a history with Palafox and a lot of unsavory stuff that happened down there. It used to be more of lit up with like reddish sort of lights, let's just say. Okay, downtown.
I thought you meant recently.
Yeah, no, like, and wow. There was kind of a history, and we wanted to avoid it being just, you know, drunken brawl fest area. You know, you didn't want it to be Bourbon Street, okay, for example. And so limitations were put in on, you know, how many bars could operate. Well, the problem in this case is that Kaskin Flights has the license. Like, they have the liquor license to operate as a bar, but which is hard to get, okay, and usually kind of expensive to acquire. But there they are, happen to be situated mid-block, and uh-oh, violation. And so code enforcement got involved because there were apparently some kind of complaints against them for this. And it's, to all of us, I think it seems very wrong that they should be prohibited from operating. But you also have the additional wrinkle that this is a black-owned business that is commonly frequented by black patrons who like to go there and relax in a nice environment and, you know, have a glass of wine or whatever. And they could only sell, like, package takeaway, you know, is kind of the restriction. You couldn't drink it on the premises or whatever. So that's kind of, oh, sorry, I guess that would have been true. No, that wasn't. I'm sorry. That was yesterday's story. That was about the video game place. Excuse me. But anyway, so a bunch of patrons showed up and wanted to protest this. The first one you heard there was Ann Brunson. This is Catrice Johnson.
John's business is a beacon in this community, not just in the complete community, but also in the black community. We need to have some place that we can go that we feel safe. In his residence, where he has his business, we feel safe. And it's not always like that in every bar. We're not always welcomed in every restaurant. We're not always welcomed everywhere we go. Some people don't even want to serve us even till this day. So to have him have a restaurant and a bar where he's at right now, it means more than you could ever imagine to us. And to have it taken away is not fair.
And you had Sean Parker, who is from Phi Beta Sigma, locally, but, you know, black fraternity, talking about the importance of this to the black community.
As part of our national programs, Bigger and Better Business is a huge part of Florida Sigma's initiative. This is a program in which we adopt black-owned and minority-owned businesses. I represent the local chapter, Alpha Alpha Theta Sigma, who in 2019 we adopted this business, Kaskin Flights. This establishment is very important to us as brothers across the state. Because when we descend upon Pensacola, it is Kaskin Flights. That's where we're going.
Now, as part of this conversation, you know, the demand was, why haven't we heard about this yet? Why haven't we had a hearing to discuss changing this restriction? And the answer is, it is going to be apparently on the agenda next month. Okay, so sometime in April, the city council is going to take it up. But James Hutto, who is the marketing director for Kaskin Flights, he was pretty upset about all of this.
I personally have fought off over 1,000 different people online who attempted to sabotage and destroy his business. And I hate to see that an antiquated policy of the city that has not even been discussed yet, that we have no firm date on yet to be discussed. I can't help but wonder if it was a white man's business, if it would already be on the agenda and we'd already be discussing it. In 2023, it's ridiculous we have to have this conversation, but it comes down to money. Is the black dollar worth the same as the white dollar?
So do I think this has anything to do with him being black? Well, I certainly hope not. I absolutely hope that that is not the case. And I don't believe that's the case. And I certainly don't think that that would have been true for Grover when this started kind of under his administration. I don't think it's true for D.C. But the question is, you know, why the foot dragging on getting it solved? And I don't have a good answer for that. But he finished up his comments. James Hutto did.
I love this city. I believe in you. I'll be your champion forever. I believe in you. You are the future of this city. President's not far off if you stay the course. I would ask you to consider what it means to this city to have this venue. A tavern is a place of gathering of citizens to discuss the future well-being of its city. Thank you.
That was a comment where D.C. Reeves is the future president, you know. And so I love that kind of uplifting picture of the future, positive view of it. So, yeah, city council, I anticipate they will actually fix this in April. But I can also understand why having to operate without your full liquor license capabilities this whole time would be problematic. Or having to operate, not without them, but under the threat that you're going to get closed down and what that might mean for you. So very sympathetic to them. And I know what people will say is, well, were the rules in place when they started the business? And I don't know their awareness of it. Did they do the due diligence and all of that? But surely this is a rule that could be changed. Seems kind of like you're not going to count the ones on the corner, but you're going to count the ones. It's an odd rule to begin with. 616 here on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable transgressors, or woe unto all who offend comes up next. Candy's got traffic on the fives.
Before I tell you to do your own drive, you know I'm going to be mad today. taking a look, I can tell by your face. I-10, I-110 looking clear this morning, no offense. 98 looking good, too. Not showing any problems in Navarre. General Chappie James, that is the 3 Mile Bridge, and that's all clear. Of course, all the lanes going. Not showing any problems, and certainly if you see an accident or a slowdown, you have a traffic tip. 437-1620, News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
Bands on the Beach is back. Bring a lawn chair or a towel and enjoy live music at the stage on Pensacola Beach. There's plenty of room to spread out and enjoy the sand, the sunset, and great live music every Tuesday night at 7. This week, the Reunion Band making their final Bands on the Beach appearance ahead of their retirement on June 1st. Don't miss the Reunion Band playing all your favorite hits one more time at Bands on the Beach.
The following message is sponsored by the Florida Department of Elder Affairs, the Florida Association of Broadcasters, and this radio station.
Sarah is 64 and loves to garden. Recently, her health insurance ran out, leaving her worried about more than just weeds. She called the Elder Helpline and spoke with a volunteer SHINE counselor about her options. There, she received free, unbiased counseling on health insurance for those on Medicare. For more information or to volunteer, call 1-800-963-5337 or go to floridashine.org.
Listen to Fox News personality Brian Kilmeade interview the latest newsmakers and cover the biggest national stories. Weekdays 11 to 1 on News Radio 92.3.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to remember those who have transgressed against the great spirit of inclusion and must henceforth be forever cast into the abyss of dead names. In this moment of our remembrance, we prove with great grief and wailing the sincerity of our noble tolerance. What we once wrongly allowed in the ignorance of white privilege has become the cleansing rite of virtue signaling we use to prove our purity. Join with me now as we remember those we've lost. First, Whoopi Goldberg. Sigh. Again. This week, when Mississippi news anchor Barbie Bassett, a white uterus-having person, was taken off the air for using a racial euphemism coined by the Earl of Long Beach, Sir Snoop Dogg, Whoopi made the terrible mistake of defending her. Listen, one of the most central dictums of our faith is that no member of the congregation shall ever, ever, ever question or dispute the decision to cancel anyone for shizzle. Second, and honestly, this is much, much worse, Whoopi started complaining that it's too difficult to keep up with all the words she isn't supposed to say, even going so far as to demand a comprehensive list be published for her reference.
Y'all need to make a book of stuff that no one can say. There has to be a book of stuff nobody could ever say. Ever, ever, ever. Include everything. Because I tell you, the things that change, you can say this, but you can't say that. But next week you might not be able to say this. It's hard to keep up.
Oh, dear. What Whoopi is forgetting here is that our whole project depends on what seventh-level woke-alite Sylvia Fleffner said in her famous autobiography Feminist Deconstructing Feminism and Other Inedible Nonsense, and I quote, "The list of forbidden terms must always be expanding and changing so that a speaker may never truly know whether her speech is safe. Only in this way can the fear of being canceled serve to fully discourage original thought," end quote. But this heresy from Whoopi is really much more dangerous than it might at first seem. In asking for a clear list that does not change and fairness in its enforcement, she's really articulating that absurd concept conservatives go on and on about, the so-called rule of law. But we are not ruled by a clear set of principles. We are ruled by emotion and our collective allergy to even the faintest aroma of offensiveness. There will be no book, and there will be no certainty. There will only ever be the violently ephemeral tastes of the present and the unquestionable obedience to the verdicts of subjective opinion issued in the heat of the moment. Woe unto all who offend.
Woe unto all who offend.
Second, digital blackface. That sad, sordid practice in which white people post memes featuring African-American imagery, slang, catchphrases, or culture to express comic relief or emotions. Common examples are Tyra Banks rooting for you, Michael Jordan crying, or Dear Miss Sweet Brown after escaping her apartment fire.
Ain't nobody got time for that.
These racialized reactions are the modern version of minstrel shows because white people use them to put on the black voice and simultaneously mock the black speakers in the meme, thus both culturally appropriating the symbol and ridiculing the people group from whence it came. As Lauren Michelle Jackson, a cultural critic writing for the academically rigorous and culturally esteemed publication Teen Vogue, says, "This digital blackface portrays black people as a walking hyperbole for being overly sassy, happy, ghetto, or loud, and it reduces black people to caricatures when whites circulate these memes." As we all know, even though these are all real examples of actual black people doing and saying, well, actual things, that's not the point. White people must never be allowed to refer to or embrace anything from black culture that might in any way be taken to represent their acceptance of blackness. They must simultaneously accept that black people are different from them, but they must never do anything that brings attention to these differences that are both totally fundamental and yet completely inappropriate to describe. White people must not quote black people, except with reverence. They must not post pictures of black people, except in solemnity. And they most certainly must not adopt the speech and mannerisms and flamboyant expressions of black citizens. The Obama standard for poise and normalcy must be enforced for shizzle. Woe unto all who offend.
Woe unto all who offend.
Finally, Guy Pearce, who exposed his own transphobia this week when he posed the question on Twitter, "If the only people allowed to play trans characters are trans folk, then are we also suggesting the only people trans folk can play are trans characters? Surely that will limit your career as an actor. Isn't the point of an actor to be able to play anyone outside your own world?" Oh, Gaia. Now, obviously, the first problem here is that a straight, white, cisgender, prostate-haver like Pierce is daring to question the holy judgment of the Rainbow Army. If we say only trans actors can play trans characters, then that's all there is to it. It's a certified part of the canon of rainbowoxy. But there is a deeper flaw here in Pierce seeming to think that logic is our guiding philosophy. As the victims of systemic oppression, people assigned as uterus having at birth but identifying as testes having as adults are entitled to say anything they want, regardless of how irrational or logically incoherent it is. That's what it means to fight against privilege. Logic is just another tool of the patriarchy. Thus, vulva-owning actresses can portray men, like on Saturday Night Live, black people can portray white characters, such as Little Mermaid or The X-Files, and, to overcome the systemic transphobia of Hollywood, cis actors can only be allowed to play cis roles, but trans actors, actresses, and act-otherin can play anything they want. Thus, men are able to transition into actually becoming women, but men are not able to simply portray women. Becoming a different gender? Yes. Pretending to become a different gender? No way. It's so obvious, the rules are clear. Woe unto all who offend.
Woe unto all who offend.
And now, with these cleansing rites performed, may we all go forth in loving tolerance and microaggress no more. Woe unto all who offend.
Woe unto all who offend.
624 here on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay. Candy has traffic on the fives, if she can.
the Earl of Long Beach. I mean, come on, man. Oh, my God. The worst part is just trying not to laugh at all this stuff over here. And you.
I'm so sorry.
Roads are fine. I'm not showing any problems. 87 is clear. Sorry, I tried to get myself here. 90 is fine. Not showing any problems on 9 Mile Road, Pine Forest, Mobile Highway. All good to go this morning. Certainly, if you see an accident or slow down or you have traffic tips or you want to say something smart to Andrew, 437-1620. You can text that in. Yeah, please do. We love it. News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
Sir, sorry. Snoop Dogg. Hey, if you're working on a project at home and you need some supplies, you need some safety gear, you know, you need advice, which, by the way, you know, there's only ever two times to ask for advice when you're doing a home improvement project. That's when you don't know what to do and when you do. You know, like, always ask. And the folks you can ask at Pensacola Hardware, it's in their blood. Like, Pensacola Hardware has been doing this for over 170 years. It's amazing. 1851, okay? And over that time, this institutional knowledge of how to do, what the codes are, who are the inspectors, and just, like, creative and practical solutions that work, they have all of that. You're genuinely shopping at the House of Expertise when you go to Pensacola Hardware. So whether you're building as a professional and you want to get, you know, somebody who's going to take care of your needs and understand your perspective, or whether you're just, you know, repairing a hole in the wall, Pensacola Hardware, they will take care of you right downtown at 20 East Gregory Street. 626 here on News Radio 92.3. David Wayne's in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
The Secret Service now talking with authorities in New York about transporting former President Trump to Manhattan to face those criminal charges after his indictment. The law enforcement agency says its role is transportation and personal protection only, and they will not be taking part in Trump's arrest. A Michigan college now ending its affiliation with the Tallahassee Classical Academy. Now, this is after the principal was forced to resign because of that art lesson featuring Michelangelo's sculpture of David. Officials at the Hillsdale College say that sculpture is one of the most important works of art in existence. Of course, the school deemed it controversial due to its nudity. And scientists say plants scream when they're hurt or stressed. Researchers at Israel's Tel Aviv University say thirsty or stressed plants emit popping sounds. However, they are undetectable to the human ear. The scientists used special microphones to record ultrasonic sounds produced by tomato and tobacco plants in their research.
So, theoretically then, what am I supposed to eat? I mean, I can't eat anything with a face, some say. Now I can't eat anything with a scream.
Right?
Like, yeah. The corn is screaming when I pull it off the stalk, and the peanuts, and the, you know, what's Ryan Jenkins going to say about this?
Crickets.
Well, crickets, you can't eat those either.
Well, there's no proof that crickets scream yet.
Well, they can't enjoy the process.
You just had that ready to go at any given time?
Candy, oddly enough,
candy.
I do.
Candy does, yeah. It's almost as though there have been times in the past when there was a felt need to play that after one of my jokes. Just saying. All right, David, thanks so much for the scary and terrifying update.
Yeah, thanks, dude.
In the cornfield, no one can hear you scream. 628 here on News Radio 92.3.
Well,
that's exactly right. Oh, my God. The comments that we're getting here. And somebody says, you know, Earl is a gendered term. Such aggression. I'm offended. The Earl of Long Beach. Ah, you guys are the best. And just one. This is my favorite comment. This is my favorite comment. It's a little cry face emoji, and it just says, no words. You're the best.
Lilith frowns on your cis logical shenanigans is my favorite.
That's fantastic. 437-1620. Oh, in what I can only describe as a follow-up. Now, I don't think they're connected, okay? But Senator Rick Scott has introduced a law that would require an armed officer in every school in the nation. And now you run into this issue where, you know, can you regulate like the private schools, right? Can you mandate it for them? And look, all of the different things that we do regulate in terms of business operations, it would seem like maybe you could enforce. But then you have the religious issue, you know, because there are some religions that might find it at odds with their religion to have an officer or a security guard that's got force. I don't know. I'm just kind of playing it out in my mind as I think about it. Now, he says, Rick Scott says, the funding, which will be made available to the states through block grants, will be diverted away from the $80 billion previously authorized for hiring all of the new agents at IRS. Although, again, remember, that was not to hire new. That was to replace retiring largely and some expansion. But the expansion was to get the IRS back to where they used to be anyway, as opposed to, it's a long conversation about whether that's real funding or not. But in any case, public and private, every school in America, Rick Scott wants to see an armed security guard there. And I agree. I mean, I just, in principle, I agree with that. That makes sense to me. Also, Ian got retired this week. The hurricane, the name, you know, because Ian was so bad, and that's how they do. They retire the name so that you never use it again because it traumatizes people to have another storm of the same name. So that's going to be removed, or has been removed. World Meteorological Organization met and decided on this week. Fiona also removed, and Ian are the 95th and 96th names that have been off the list. David Wynn will have your local news coming up next, right after Fox.
Fox News, I'm Chris Foster. Former President Trump, now facing criminal charges in New York, calls the case against him a disgrace and political persecution.
Donald Trump will be arraigned next week in a Manhattan courtroom surrounded by extraordinary security, of course. A grand jury decided the Manhattan DA, Alvin Bragg, had demonstrated probable cause in the case he has pursued against Trump over so-called hush money payments to the porn star Stormy Daniels.
Fox's Jonathan Hunt, the exact charges are sealed until Trump's arraignment. There's severe weather in the forecast today in parts of the South and the Midwest.
The potential for numerous tornadoes, a few of which will probably be longer track. There is a large area at risk here today for not only the tornadoes, but then also we'll have damaging winds and some very large hail as well.
Jeremy Grams, the National Weather Service. President Biden is scheduled to survey tornado damage today in Mississippi. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning. 66 degrees, partly cloudy right now in Pensacola. Well, if you're looking for work, the Pensacola International Airport might just be looking for you. They've got a job fair going on next week. They're going to be that's going to be happening on the second floor of the terminal building in the airport administration office on April 5th. They say there's lots of full and part-time positions available in several areas, including the TSA, ramp agents, rental car agents, customer service, cargo parking, aircraft maintenance, fueling, many more opportunities as well. They say job seekers are encouraged to register for this job fair online, and we've posted a link on the news radio website. If you've been around Molino lately, you may have seen some film crews working in the area. North Escambia reporting that those crews have been filming a movie called Cirrus at Panhandle Alarm and Telephone, Jimmy's Grill, and a machine shop on Fairground Road. Now, the film follows a couple of agents that are searching for an entity responsible for an ambush on their colleagues. The movie reportedly could be the first in a trilogy of these films, and it's being recorded in 3D on two iPhones. So you never know. You might see those crews out filming in Molino if you're out in that area today. Response from Governor DeSantis on the indictment of former President Donald Trump yesterday. He says it's un-American. The governor tweeted a statement after that bombshell announcement yesterday saying Florida would not be assisting in extraditing the former president. DeSantis says the, quote, Soros-backed Manhattan district attorney has consistently bent the law to downgrade felonies, but says he's now stretching the law to target a political opponent. Trump was indicted yesterday. So far, no word on what the actual charges against him will be. Several area restaurants here in Northwest Florida landed on the top 100 list of Florida restaurants on Yelp. The Panhandle seems to have distinguished itself as a culinary hotspot in the state. George Bistro and Bar in Pensacola landed at number 14 on the list. Mr. Pollo was listed at number 16, and Cracklings in Destin also made it high on the list at 27. A Pensacola man now sentenced to 25 years in prison for a shooting that happened in 2021. 38-year-old Cordell Hawthorne was sentenced to 25 years with a 10-year mandatory minimum yesterday. That shooting happened August 14th of 2021. An arrest report says the victim was found in the road with multiple gunshot wounds on Mobile Highway. This was over near the Relax Inn. And the report says the shooting stemmed from a drug dispute. The permitless carry gun bill now headed to the governor's desk. That law passed the Senate yesterday on a 27-13 vote. It means anybody that can legally own a firearm would be able to concealed carry without needing a permit. Currently, a permit is required that requires a background check and a training course, but anybody who was previously prohibited from owning a firearm before would still not be allowed to possess or carry a weapon, and the bill will not allow for open carry as well. It is 6:34 News Radio 92.3. Let's get a look at our traffic on the fives. Candy, what are you seeing out there?
Oh, Brent Lane is fine as we take a look around. He popped into the studio. Sorry, dude. In Beverly in Michigan, and all of his roads are doing just fine so far this morning. Not showing any problems over by the fairgrounds. I know it gets a little slow over there sometimes as you're way in. It looks like Beulah is doing okay. Not showing any issues, like I said, and certainly if you see an accident or a slowdown, 437-1620, you can text it in. News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. Thank you.
Thank you so much for that update, Candy. 635 at News Radio 92.3.
We're going to be seeing a few more clouds in the area for this afternoon, but still looking nice with some peaks of sunshine. Temperatures warming up into the mid to upper 70s. Overnight tonight, we are expecting to stay warm with lows in the 70s. As we head into the weekend, we will have a small chance of rain build in, 30% chance of showers as we go into Saturday afternoon. Otherwise, partly cloudy skies with a high near 82. Saturday night temperatures dropping near 57. Stay connected to Channel 3 News First Warning Weather Team. Download the WEAR-TV weather app. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Warning Weather Center.
And right now, 66 in Pensacola, 68 in Gulf Breeze, 50 in Milton, or 59 in Milton, I'm sorry. Our next news at 7 o'clock, breaking news anytime it happens. I'm David Wayne. News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
I'm Jennifer Kashinka with Your Money Now. Wells Fargo will pay fines of about $98 million for inadequate oversight of its compliance risks, enabling the apparent violation of U.S. sanctions against Iran, Syria, and Sudan. The Fed and Treasury Department say the bank's deficient oversight enabled it to violate U.S. sanctions by providing a trade finance platform to a foreign bank that used it to process $532 million in prohibited transactions. The Biden administration is pushing hard for U.S. businesses to invest in Africa despite the obstacles they face there, more than a decade after China began expanding its economic and political ties with countries across the continent. Vice President Kamala Harris pledged this week in Ghana's seaside capital to double down on efforts to bring billions of dollars in investment to Africa, a continent many Western investors still view as high risk. Harris is the highest ranking in a string of top White House officials to travel through Africa this year. That's Your Money Now.
The steak experts at Omaha Steaks are helping you spring into something delicious with their semi-annual sale. Grab all your favorites at 50% off, like tender steaks, ocean fresh seafood, air chilled chicken, and more. Plus, use promo code QUALITY at omahasteaks.com at checkout for an additional $30 off your order. Get fired up and spring into something special. But hurry, 50% off site-wide is only for a limited time. Visit omahasteaks.com. Use code QUALITY at checkout for an additional $30 off during their semi-annual sale today. Minimum order may be required.
Breaking news.
Tax refund shock is everywhere, but what is it?
My tax refund shrank.
Mine too.
The culprit? Pandemic-related stimulus payments and tax credits expiring. In this reporter's opinion, you need a tax expert.
Hey guys, Jackson Hewitt guarantees your biggest refund.
And tax prep is 50% off? Going there now.
50% off is a limited-time offer for new clients filing at participating locations. Max value $200. Visit jacksonhewitt.com/50 for terms.
As a small business owner, what keeps you up at night? Just knowing if your email got hacked or your phone system went down, it could cost you thousands in revenue, as well as your reputation. That's where Data Revolution comes in with their unique position to take care of you and your business IT support, phone systems, cybersecurity, and more. Secure it and sleep better at night by going to datarevs.com. Winner of the 2021 Best of the Bay for IT support, datarevs.com.
Here's what's happening around Pensacola this week. The 13th annual Navy Federal 5K is Saturday. Run, walk, or roll through downtown Pensacola. The start and finish will be at Seville Square. All ages welcome. See NavyFederal.org for more. The Pensacola Jazz Fest is Saturday and Sunday at Seville Square Gazebo Stage. Enjoy music from local to national artists, food, arts, crafts, and more. See PensacolaJazzFest.com. Submit your event at NewsRadio923.com.
News Radio Pensacola is your source for informative, local, dependable news and talk. Pensacola Morning News with Andrew McKay gets you a breakdown of the local issues from the county commission meetings to new developments. Pep Talk gets you local expert opinions on everything from gardens to HVAC. Brian Kilmeade interviews the national newsmakers. Dave Ramsey helps you become debt-free. Pensacola Right Now infotains on your drive home. Local and Fox News at the top and bottom of every hour. And traffic on the fives during your drive time. News Radio 92.3. Informative. Local. Dependable.
Good morning. 640 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. Joining us as he does every Friday during session, we've got Alex Andrade, State Representative for District 2. That's the southern half of Escambia County and all of the waterfront in both counties. Alex, welcome back to the show, sir.
Hey, good morning, Kenny. Good morning, Andrew. I appreciate you guys having me.
I guess I say all the waterfront's not quite right. It's the beach waterfront, the southern waterfront, not the obviously up by Milton and that kind of an area. Anyway, lots of stuff to talk about. Before we get to session, just because you're an attorney, you're a state representative, you're aware of current events, I did want to ask you just like your opinion. President Trump obviously has been indicted in New York, and his attorneys apparently were he's going to surrender for the indictment of the arraignment on Tuesday. But Governor DeSantis has come out and said that, look, we're not going to participate in extradition here. This is ridiculous. What would happen if, former President Trump decided not to go to New York and DeSantis said, we're not going to help? What would happen?
Well, I mean, you essentially have somebody with an active warrant who's incredibly famous, right? So I never see that dynamic happening because I think it would put a lot of people at risk. You have the state of New York, the city of New York. They will not want to look, impotent in not being able to execute on that warrant. Obviously you have, President Trump, who probably would like in the future to be able to go to New York without fear of having a warrant served on him at any minute, So I think it'll be handled professionally. I don't think anybody wants the imagery of like a standoff anywhere or something like that. So I think it'll just be kind of handled. And
I figure the same thing. It's just kind of my brain always wonders the what if, what if this actually got followed through on? A lot of stuff.
No law enforcement officers.
Go ahead.
Could come to Florida. No law enforcement officers could come to Florida. But I think there could become like a federal issue. I think the state of New York could probably try and sue the state of Florida in federal court or something, but I'm not 100% sure on what the basis would be. States do their authority generally ends at their line,
right?
At their jurisdiction.
Hey, not the same question in any way, but just because this has also, of course, been in the news. We know this horrible massacre, murders that took place in Nashville. And in the wake of that, Senator Rick Scott has proposed a bill that would mandate and fund an armed, either an SRO or a trained security officer that would be armed at every school in America. That part makes perfect sense to me. The interesting wrinkle on that is at all private schools as well, because, of course, this is a private school. And when it comes to mandating for private schools, my understanding is that in Florida, it's only public schools that are required and not private schools. I don't know about charters, frankly. But if a school had a religious character to it and objected, you might run into, of course, religious imposition questions. Is the legislature, have they considered taking up the question of mandating armed guards at also private schools here in Florida?
Not private schools. I can answer the charter schools are required to. Charter schools
they are, okay.
are essentially government schools. But for the private schools, the issue you're going to have is like unintended consequences. Not all private schools look the same. And you can go down the line and you're going to have some private schools in air quotes that are so small that essentially, their issue would have to be like, well, none of our staff want to be guardians, so we have to pay a police officer, a school resource officer, and we can't afford it.
Well, you could make it a size minimum, right? You could say, like, above 30 students. I mean, just theoretically. But, that makes sense, too. Okay, go ahead.
But it's not a bad idea. But at the same time, unintended consequences. The Marjorie Stoneman Douglas Act said that no one could carry a firearm on, like, a school ground. And that meant the churches couldn't have their own private security, like their own kind of security teams for a long time until Representative Williamson and I worked on a bill a few years ago to try and pull that one back.
Right.
So that at least allowed for churches to have their own private security teams. And private schools can do it right now. They have full authority to do it right now. The difference between private schools and public schools is that, public schools can give that authority. And they also depend on direct funding from the state. So we, had to provide that authority, provide that plan for a guardian or an SRO, and also provide some funding for it in categorical.
Yeah, and I'm you know, I start to feel reluctant about almost imposing any requirements on private schools, especially if they're religious private schools. So I see those kind of concerns as well. That's all very fair. Alex, we're talking to Alex Andrade, State Representative for District 2. Alex, hang on for just a second. Let's get Candy here with traffic on the fives.
And not showing any slowdowns or delays at this time. Certainly, if you have a traffic tip, text 437-1620, News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
Thanks so much, Candy. The legislature, Alex, sent off to Governor DeSantis to sign the bill that would allow for concealed carry without a permit, as long as you are eligible under the same criteria as it would be to get a permit. But he was asked yesterday at an event whether he would call a special session to look for a genuine open carry where you would have no permit and you'd be able to carry, for example, in a holster on your hip or something like that. He said yes if he can get the votes. Do you anticipate that happening after session this year?
I have no idea. Open carry is something that, it's something I would support. Whether or not the rest of the legislature would is not something I've taken a poll on. I'd be perfectly fine with open carry. It would be my preferred option, but I've never polled it, so I have no idea.
All right, fair enough. And I forget where we are on the death penalty changes. They're about to be ratified and sent to the governor, or they have been sent. I can't remember. So you tell me. But also, I'm sorry, go ahead.
Oh, no, the death penalty changes are being taken up in the House Judiciary Committee today on the House side.
Okay, so we're not there yet on the House side. Got it. I have concerns about this bill because – number one, I tend to agree with Senator Pizzo, who said that he doesn't like the idea of writing legislation so quickly to change after one incident, obviously the trial of Nicholas Cruz. But sometimes you change law to adapt to a problem in the system. It just seems like 8 is too low. Like 10 makes sense to me, but when you have 3 jurors who don't want to recommend the death penalty, it's hard for me to find a case where I would say, no, we shouldn't care about the votes of 3 jurors and make it just 8. What do you think?
I have a personal, personal aversion to the death penalty. It has no deterrent effect. It costs state attorneys hundreds of thousands, if not millions of dollars every year because the due process requirements are so high. And you still run the risk of killing an innocent person. I'm not saying any state attorney should ever not enforce the death penalty. That is the law. They should enforce the law. That is their job. It's the legislature's job to take up the law and try and change it, and the Supreme Court's to interpret the Constitution. But I don't see the value in the death penalty anymore just because the due process protections are so high. It costs millions of dollars to deal with these appeals. You have so many investigators who have to talk to literally almost every single person that defendants ever interacted with in their entire life to meet those due process requirements to protect that person. Who could potentially be innocent, identify mitigating factors about why the person shouldn't be subjected to the death penalty. It's just such a high cost, high intensive issue. And again, you run the risk of potentially killing an innocent person. Life in prison is a far worse punishment. Life in prison is also, a less expensive, it takes less resources to house someone for life in prison who's done an egregious act.
So are you a no on the changes?
No, simply because the option to do away with the death penalty and have that debate is not the option. The option is what's the right policy on the death penalty if the death penalty is going to stay in law in Florida. I don't have an extremely strong opinion. I haven't reviewed the bills yet. So I will when they get to the House floor.
Gotcha.
But no, I tend to agree with your analysis, right? You ultimately want to look at what is the right number of jurors of the panel of 12 that you need to feel comfortable that jury got it right. And you do have to put a lot of faith in that jury. The jury is a representation of society as a whole.
Right.
So coming up with that number, thinking through that is something I haven't thought too deeply about. but I'll be going through that thought process very soon.
Okay. All right. Well, we'll look forward to talking to you more about that. And finally, yesterday was a little bit lively. You had some conversations about whether getting rid of SNAP benefits to fund soda purchases and, you know, expanding the parental rights bill all the way through higher grade levels and, you know, what is a pronoun? I mean, you had some interesting conversations yesterday on second reading bills that are going to be on third reading again today. Is that right?
We did, yes. So on that expansion of the Parental Rights and Education Act, we had Democrats think that it was an intelligent argument to continue to ask, why isn't pronoun defined in the bill? What is a pronoun? And if you don't know what a pronoun is, we have far bigger issues than you can imagine.
Not to be overly snarky, but I was generally of the impression that pronoun awareness was something that Democrats were better at than Republicans these days. Am I missing something?
Well, yeah, I mean, it really is akin to like the facetiousness of the wordsmithing that they engage in.
I got you.
The same as I don't know the definition of a woman. I'm not a biologist. You know, it's just such a ridiculous premise to say that words have no meaning anymore unless they fit my social view and my world view, my ideology. That if we can't agree on the basic definitions of words, especially words like pronoun or woman, it's very difficult to see where we can find common ground right now.
Yeah, that's well, look, I know they feel frustrated. You know, they're in the super minority. And they feel frustrated, and so maybe they feel like this is the way they can throw up some chaff and, you know, raise objections. And, you know, when there's nothing you can do, maybe desperation starts to look a little bit weird. But lots of stuff that's going to be on the agenda today for third reading, finally for passage, and I'm sure we'll talk about that more next week. Alex Andrade, he is our state representative for District 2. Are you getting sleep yet, newborn baby? Getting sleep?
I'm getting great sleep. We're very lucky. Gilly's, you know, sleeping through the night. My only gripe right now is that I'm not home nearly enough.
During session, I'm sure that's extra annoying for both you and your wife. Alex Andrade, as always, thank you for the time, sir. We'll talk to you again next week. We look forward to the conversations on the floor and in committee throughout the process.
Sounds good. Thanks, guys.
You bet. 652 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. If you're thinking about HVAC work, obviously there's a lot of different companies that you can call for parts, repairs, replacement, whatever the case may be, maintenance. And you want to be sure that you get good quality service, good quality products. That's Peden Heating, Air Conditioning, Heating, and Electrical. And the thing is, when you pick up the phone and call them, you know you're going to get the best of everything, right? That's the idea. And for example, right now, what you're starting to think about, I hope, is summer's coming, you know, in Game of Thrones, winter is coming, and in Pensacola, summer's coming. Like, you know, it's going to happen every year, but you want to make sure that it's going to, your AC is going to work right first time all through the summer and not waste electricity and cost you even more money from FPL, right? So what you do is you get a tune-up. Just to make sure that it's going to do all of those things properly and not cost you extra money. If you need AC work or replacement, call Peden. If you've got an electrical issue, call Peden. Offices in Panama City, Destin, Fort Walton, and, of course, here in Pensacola. Check them out online at Peden, PEDEN.com. And, honestly, this is the last day. This is the last day they have what they're calling their Inflation Buster special, which is during the month of March. They've waived diagnostic fees on HVAC, plumbing, and electrical services. So through today, that is true. So if you want to take advantage of that, give them a call today. Phone number you can find online at Peden, PEDEN.com.
Join Pam and Keith, your insurance experts, with Alpha Star Insurance Services, Monday morning at 9 on News Radio 92.3 and the Pensacola Expert Panel. Learn how to take financial control and which insurance products are best for you and your family as you head toward retirement. They'll be taking your calls and questions Monday morning at 9 with Alpha Star Insurance Services on the Pensacola Expert Panel.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
Whether you're looking for the number one selling diesel lawnmower, utility vehicle, compact tractor, or compact excavator, Coastal Machinery has it all. There's a reason even their competitors use Kubota engines. It's the number one diesel engine under 100 horsepower in the world. Take advantage of 0% long-term financing and large Kubota incentives. Stop by the Kubota field event today from 10:30 to 12:30. Talk with Kubota factory reps and enjoy free lunch and door prizes. 6701 Mobile Highway, just north of the Pensacola Interstate Fairgrounds.
All of your local news and talk from dependable host Andrew McKay on your morning drive with Pensacola Morning News 5 to 9 on News Radio 92.3.
National average for gallon of gas, $3.50. Florida, $3.47. These keep inching up. Florida, $3.16. Sorry, Texas, $3.16. California, $4.82. In Navarre, prices still haven't budged in several weeks. $3.15 east and west at the Walmart. $3.11 at the Garcon Point Bridge, the Murphy across the street there. $3.23 in proper at the Exxon. Like I said, these prices are all the same recently. $3.19 at the CEFCO in Milton. $3.25 at the Pea Ridge Murphy. $3.25 at the Cumberland Farms, the Old Tom Thumb in Pace. Getting over into Pensacola on 9 Mile. $3.19 at the Walmart, $3.29. Oh, sorry, that's not your best price. Best price is down the road at the Shell. Don't usually get to say that. So, yeah, at the Shell down the road on Pensacola Boulevard, US 29, that's the best price. And then coming in from the southwest side, oh, prices here have gone up a little bit. If you can get there fast, $3.17 at the TNC on Navy, but other prices have gone up to $3.29 in that vicinity. These gas prices are brought to you by Pete Moore Volkswagen with the lowest out-the-door price on your next new Volkswagen, Pete Moore Imports. .com. 6:55 here on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable. Candy has traffic on the fives.
And clear right now, Chemeckla Highway, Woodbine, and Berry Hill. Not showing any issues. 437-1620. Text if you have traffic tips. News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
Thanks so much, Candy. David Wayne's in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
Well, a funeral being held today for one of the victims of the Nashville school shooting. The service for 9-year-old Evelyn Deckhouse will be held this afternoon in Nashville. President Biden and First Lady Jill Biden in Mississippi today. They're surveying damage caused by the deadly tornadoes that went through the area last week. He'll also be meeting with local and state officials about recovery efforts. And March Madness down to the Final Four. Four schools battling in Houston on Saturday for a chance at the national basketball title. San Diego State will play against Florida Atlantic.
Go Owls.
And UConn against Miami. So two Florida schools.
All right. Give me Miami.
We'll take it.
I want to see two Florida schools in the final. That'd be fun.
Wouldn't that?
That would
be great.
Really cool. Yeah, I'd like to see that outcome. 657 here on News Radio 92.3. What else do we have going on? There's other stuff going on at the I haven't reported on this, but Gwyneth Paltrow apparently is going to be exonerated or has been exonerated, and it's all over. In the trial that I genuinely couldn't have cared less about. I don't understand this fixation. I know I'm weird. All I'm saying is every time I saw her face on the screen, I couldn't care less. Like, why is this a
That's
fixation?
That's how she looks. Because she's famous and somebody's trying to sue her for something
so
that probably...
Just, okay. Is this like the thing you want to follow with your life? Like, I don't understand. It's so strange. And look, I know, and it was kind of funny. I was reading one story about it yesterday, and the story made the comment, the obscure rule that the uphill skier is responsible. That's not an obscure rule. That's every skier knows that rule. It's just like boating. The small boat, the sailboat has the right of way, right? I mean, you know, when you're uphill, you're the one who's supposed to avoid. The downhill can't avoid you. Like, that's the point. Like, so it's an obscure rule. It's not obscure if you ski. Maybe you've never skied. Maybe if you've never skied, you shouldn't cover a ski trial. I'm just saying. Just a thought. Maybe. That's, yeah, sorry. Snarky me comes out. 6:58 on News Radio 92.3.
I'm trying to figure out who was guilty there in your eyes. I'm not a skier.
I just think the whole thing was silly.
It is.
All right. Future news. Time to tell you what's going to happen before it happens. Will Trump actually be arraigned now that he's been indicted? Will he actually be arraigned next Tuesday?
No.
You know, I'm going to say yes, but like all things Trump, I'm very reluctant to make any predictions. Like, will he be convicted?
Oh, no.
Ugh.
You mean like mugshot
stuff?
No, I don't see him going to
jail.
I'm going to say no.
Will we get concealed carry in the state of Florida? Will Governor DeSantis sign the bill?
Yes.
Of course. Permitless concealed carry.
Yep.
Will we have permitless open carry, let's say this year?
Yes.
I'm going to say yes. I mean, it fits the, like, running for president kind of narrative, and it certainly fits what he said yesterday if he thinks he's got the votes. Federal law, Governor Rick Scott, Senator Rick Scott, former governor, has proposed to have all schools in the nation armed, public and private. Will that happen?
I hope so. I'm sorry. I think it's a great idea.
You know, if they're going to provide the funding, that would be the key hurdle, right? If the feds are going to provide the funding, makes sense to me. I still have questions about some religious schools that might object on those grounds. And will we have an all-Florida finals? after the Final Four?
Heck yes.
Let's say yes.
Local talk during the day with Jenna Barr, 9 to 11, is on News Radio 92.3, WNRP, Gulf Breeze, Milton, Pensacola.